Jude, my wife said, make sure you say chapter 1, so I'm going to say chapter 1. Jude chapter 1, as if there were another. I told her, I said, woman, there's only one chapter. She said, yeah, but say it anyhow. So I'm going to say it anyhow. Chapter 1 of the book of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, which our brother Gary was just speaking of, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but that is a pleasant circumstance in which to find yourself.
Yes, sir.
It's great to know that we're preserved.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Yes.
I didn't say pickled. I said preserved. A lot of people in church seem to be pickled rather than preserved. God's people are preserved.
Yes.
I like that. God knows what He's doing, doesn't He?
Yes.
And of course, that word sanctified comes first. That work of sanctification, as Brother Gary mentioned, thought about this morning, the work of sanctification is done actually when glorification takes place. We're called out of here to be with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And called mercy. Have you ever heard that again or before? This verse 2, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Now I've told you already that there's no argument as to whom this book is written. It's written to the beloved. I just happen to be one of those.
Yes.
If you're born again, you just happen to be one of those.
Absolutely.
So there's no reason for us to say, well, that doesn't pertain to me. Now, some of you are going to want to say that after tonight's over. But it does pertain to you. If you're a child of God, this thing pertains to you.
Amen.
And then when He said that we were to earnestly contend for the faith, I've told you already, this is a military term. We are to fight spiritual battles, and we are fronted by the Word of God, the good Holy Ghost, and our Captain, the Lord Jesus. We are confronted with the devil and all the hordes of hell. Now come with me to verse number 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There are three basic thoughts I find in this verse. First of all, that is the certainty of corruption. For there are, not going to be, not will be in the future, there are. That means it's taking place already in Jude's day, and surely we must note that it's taking place in our day. Certain men crept in unawares. We'll talk more about that in a moment. So there's a certainty of a corruption, and then there is the condemnation of this corruption. They're of old ordained to this condemnation, and then there is the character of this corruption. Ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, of which we shall speak in just a moment. Certain men, he says, they've crept in unawares. That word is paraisduno. Paraisduno. And it means to settle in beside of. But it also means to settle in by stealth. In other words, they have camouflaged themselves. Remember I said to you a few weeks ago that margarine disguises itself as butter. Actually, it doesn't do it itself, but those who manufacture it disguise it to make it look like butter. Then you're going to be eating margarine rather than butter. Hypocrite butter. Isn't that right? Isn't it a shame what doctors have done to us? They told us for years that butter wasn't good for you. I said back then they're full of hogwash. Don't know what they're talking about. And now they've had to admit they don't know what they're talking about. And margarine's killing you. One molecule from a Pirelli tire. And you're putting it on your biscuits. And saying, I can't believe it's not butter. Why? Listen, when I was coming up, we ate butter. When they brought the margarine to the table, there was a major difference in the two. I never could develop a taste for margarine. I'm telling you something if you listen to me. Because I'd been exposed to butter. God's people that are exposed to the truth do not quickly fall for the taste of this hypocrite preaching. This margarine preaching.
Yes.
It disgusts me. It ought to disgust you. It ought to turn your stomach. Did you ever fry an egg in butter? By the way, that's the only way to fry an egg. Fry an egg in butter, and somebody beside you frying an egg in margarine. If you can't tell the difference, you have a problem. But now here's the danger. Listen to me again. Here is the danger. We have a generation that has grown up with margarine. Then when you introduce them to butter, they don't want it. They want the margarine. Our churches have been fed margarine. We've been fed by deception. And now when the truth comes along, we don't want it. It doesn't fit our taste buds. I like to preach to people, when I look at them, there's a smile on their face and they're taking it in. But I preach to folks quite often that are looking like a calf, looking at a new gate, wondering what's going on. What's he saying? Because they've been fed margarine all their life. You see, the real thing will cause you to detest the fake. But if you've never had anything but the fake, then you'll detest the real. That's what he's speaking of. We're to earnestly contend, warfare if necessary, for the truths that God has delivered to us. Now, these men have crept in unawares. They're the margarine salesmen. They're feeding us the artificial stuff, the man-made stuff. And they do so undercover. They do it by stealth. They're covert actors, not overt actors. Oftentimes, they disguise the poison of their teaching under some truth. Therefore, it's hard oftentimes to see the corruption that's there, except God help us to see it. Let's look at some of these things for a moment, if we may. The Scripture says that these men who have crept in come to lodge along beside us by stealth. They are before ordained to condemnation. Isn't that something? Now, let me hang on to this. If they are before ordained to this condemnation, then may I say to you that we are before ordained to be winnowed as the church by this? You didn't catch that, did you? You see, they are before ordained. That means God did it, right? Therefore, they have been sent in Matthew chapter number 13. One of the parables is a parable about tares, remember? The tares are sown in the wheat. And when the tares begin to come up, the workmen come to the husband and say, "Hey, didn't you plant good seed? What are these tares doing among the wheat?" And then they say, "Do you want us to go pull them up?" "No, for if you pull them up, you're going to pull up the wheat with it." Do you realize that there are many people in Baptist churches that don't have the foggiest idea what was said there? They're going to be among us. And you're never going to be able to weed them out. When I'm teaching preachers, one of the worst things, or hardest things to try to get across to them, is that they can't do it. Only God can do this work. Oftentimes, churches are destroyed. I'm talking about the local assembly. They're destroyed because the preacher or someone tries to fix a situation that they're not powerful enough to fix. Only God can fix it. Now note, if you will, if you read on in that parable, you'll find that the husbandman said, "Let them grow together." Yes. Now that has often puzzled me. But may I say to you, that there are many who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, who sit in our pews and learn from the Word of God and grow as far as the spiritual outside is concerned, but nothing has ever happened inside. They can act the part, they can do the part, but they can't be the part. We're in sad shape if we think that's not taking place in our churches today. Right. Let them grow together. Then at the harvest, we'll separate them. The tares we'll bundle up to burn, but the wheat goes into the garner. Yes. Glory! That looks like two different destinations to me. Why? Because there are two different plants. One, the master planted. The other, the enemy planted.
Yes.
You keep that in mind. The enemy is planting those who would soon deceive the church. Many, many who are popular in the religious world are deceivers. They are not preachers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think for a moment that these mega churches would put up with the preaching of the gospel for one service? They are feel good, do it churches. Make me feel good, preacher. Make me feel good in my sin. Don't confront me with my sin. And so they grow by leaps and bounds, not a spiritual growth, but a growth of the tares. Sad, isn't it? This condemnation, that word is krima, and it means decided judgment. Already decided what their end will be. No question about it. They're headed for the pits of the damned. And then he calls them ungodly men. They're, the word, the Greek word there is asibe, and it means to be irreverent or impious or wicked within themselves. Ungodly men. Men without the presence of God. They perform like they have the power of God, but they have no presence of God within them. Oftentimes it's hard for us to tell where there is a spiritual being in the pulpit or no. If we're not spiritual, you see, the Scripture tells us plainly to try the spirits and see if they be of God. For not every spirit is of God. For there are many false spirits that have gone out into the world, and these false spirits have invaded our churches, our assemblies. Ungodly men. And then he speaks of them turning. That word means to exchange or change sides. Pervert, if you will. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. That word is aselie, and it means to make filthy. Wantonness. Lasciviousness always has a sexual overtone. And it deals with those who would take the grace of God and use it as a license to commit all kinds of sin. Well, I'm saved by the grace of God. I can do this, that, and the other and still go to heaven. Let me tell you something. If you're saved by the grace of God, that kind of speech will not come out of your mouth. Paul said to the young preacher Titus in chapter number 2, beginning with verse number 11, for the grace of God, watch the words, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, watch the wording now, teaching us to live godly. Now, if we go on, we're going to disturb you. But the truth is that the grace of God teaches us to live godly. And by the way, he goes on to say, in this present world. Well, that kind of tears up that other philosophy, doesn't it? The grace of God teaches me to live godly in this world. You see, they're saying, oh, I'm going to be godly in the other world. But it teaches us to live godly here. Godly living is just the way the saint breathes in this world. Now, I didn't say we were without sin. Not by any stretch of the imagination. But, like David, we seek the heart of God when we fail. And failure is in all of our lives, both past and future. But when we fail, there is that contrition that draws us to an honest confession before God of our sins. Instead of trying to pack it off on someone else. My daughter's here tonight. She'll testify to this truth. When my children did something and they tried to blame it on someone else, their punishment was twice as much. I taught them not to blame it on someone else, but to admit it themselves. We need to learn to say, I did it because I wanted to. Hello? Now, I know some of you are saying, well, I just couldn't help it. You did it because you wanted to. That's right. If you're a child of God, you sin because you want to. You walk by all the stop signs. And you walk by all the warnings of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. And you do it anyhow. And you do it because you want to. Now, when you go to before God to confess it, don't go before God and start packing it off on everybody else. Learn to pray like Daniel prayed. We've sinned. Our fathers have sinned. I've sinned. Learn to admit it before God. In Leviticus chapter 5, verse 5, the saint of God in the Old Testament economy was told to confess in that thing. Now, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to figure that out. When you confess in that thing, you name what you did.
Yes.
You wasn't ashamed to do it. But don't be ashamed to admit it before God. Turning the grace of God, exchanging the grace of God for lascivious and denying. This means to contradict, denying the only Lord. I've got to get to this. Stay with me. And denying the only Lord. This word Lord is despotes, from which we get our word despot. And it means total, absolute ruler. To make it simple, it means sovereign. Somebody said the word sovereign doesn't appear in the Bible. Well, it does. And not just here. Over in 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 1, there it is again. Same word, despotes. Absolute ruler. Isn't that something? Do you mean to tell me, Brother Larry, that God is absolute ruler? I'm not telling you that. The book's telling you that. And I'm just declaring a witness to the truth tonight.
Amen.
He is absolute ruler. Not almost absolute, but entirely absolute. Now, if you want to be studious, let me tell you what you do. You go home tonight and look up Strong's Concordance, and the number in the Greek part is 1203. That's a good time if you'd go to bed tonight. 1203. How about that? Just look it up and see if I'm telling you the truth. Despotes, entire charge. Now let's go on. The only Lord God. This word God here is the word theos, and it means supreme deity. All right? We have an absolute ruler now that they are fighting against. I'll talk about that in a moment. And now we have a supreme deity of whom they are fighting against. And then our Lord, if you look at the next phrase, and our Lord, now the word is skorios, and it means supreme controller.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now you try to get yourself out of that if you will. Just put your little car in reverse and see if you can back out of that. Now just in case you didn't think he was in charge, Jude wants you to know that there's somebody in charge. What is going on with these who are creeping in unawares is that they're trying to say that he's not in charge. Well, how about that? Just this week on two occasions, someone has said to me, well, I believe I have to. Do you know what they're saying? God's not in charge. I'm a little bit in charge. You're so cute. With your little crown on your head and your little scepter in your hand and your little robe on your back, you're so cute. You know what you're in charge of? Nada. Do you know who's in charge? But that crowd's coming in and telling us, oh, the Lord's not entirely in charge. Now, they don't use those words, but that's what they're saying. You see, what they'll do is say, well, now you have to. And you have to. You must, and you must. Let me tell you something. All you do in salvation is just be there. Isn't that something? That's all you do is just be there. And while you're being there, God's Holy Ghost does the work. But if you're not careful, you'll start taking credit for it. You don't want to use the phraseology when you're talking with me about salvation, when I got saved, because I will correct you. It is when God saved me. Do you see the difference? How many of you see the difference in that? Do you know what the difference is? The difference is who is in charge. Am I in charge? No. Is He in charge? Yes. These false teachers, these apostates, and I haven't used that word prior to this in this teaching, but this we will use from here on. These are the acts of the apostates. The book of the Acts is the acts of the apostles. The book of Jude is the acts of the apostates. I've got to be in the picture. Well, the only way you got in the picture is where God to put you there. And just like the condemnation of those evil, wicked men who have crept into our churches is foreordained, your salvation is foreordained.
Yes.
And guess what? That means it's going to happen.
Yes.
Now you'll sit there and you'll believe that the condemnation of those wicked ones is foreordained. Why will you not believe that the salvation of those whom God is going to save is foreordained? Because you haven't got the right view of God. When you get the right view of God, when God opens your eyes and lets you see Him as He is, then you'll see yourself as you are. And the more holy we see God, the more ungodly we see ourselves. Jude says they are denying the only Lord God. They deny His Lordship. They deny the fact that He is Lord. I don't understand how an individual can call Jesus Lord and then take control themselves. You see, the very fact that He is Lord means that He is in control. Means that He is the supreme ruler. Now, if He is the supreme ruler, then that means that He does the ruling, not us. This absolute leadership or rulership, it is really, of the Lord Jesus, simply means that we ought to be rejoicing that He'd have anything to do with us.
Amen.
Why would He have anything to do with me? Why would He have anything to do with you? Can I tell you? It's His sovereign choice. Now I'm going to tell you something else. Just hang on to this. Since it is His sovereign choice, then that truth says that you belong to Him forever. You see, you can't believe in a sovereign God and not believe in the eternal security of the believer. You can't believe that He is Lord and not believe that He is in control of your destiny. Many of our presidential candidates the other evening took it upon themselves to say that they would change our destiny. I'm sorry. I don't care who your favorite is. He or she cannot change your destiny. Now I'm going to throw the real wrench into the gears. You can't change your destiny either. Why? Because it's already preordained of the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
Now, Brother Lay, I have a hard time believing that, yeah, because you've been fed by that outfit that turned the grace of God into lasciviousness and denies the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You have a hard time taking this because you still see yourself as holding the reins. You will admit that God is your co-pilot, but you better learn that He is the pilot. And this is a single pilot machine. There is no co involved. Do we understand that? Is it simple enough for me to say to you that God Almighty is God Almighty? That's what Jude said. And Jude said that those who creep in unawares are denying His sovereignty. They're denying His power. And they're denying His will for the life of the believer. It is the will of God that we live godly in this present world. Let me summarize that little text for you. Paul said to Titus, this grace that brings salvation teaches us to live right and to look right. What does that grace teach us to look for? The Lord Jesus Christ to come. I learned a secret most people have never learned a long time ago. If you're really looking for the Lord to come, there's four of us boys. We'd play around, do whatever we wanted to do for most of the day. But when we realized it was about time for Dad to come, we started doing what Daddy told us to do before he left that morning. Right. We knew it better be done before Daddy got home. And we started treating Mama like Mama. We'd even go up to her sometimes and say, Mama, I love you. You know why? Because Daddy was coming and we knew it. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Daddy's coming and you know it. If you don't know anything else, you ought to know Jesus is coming. And the very fact that He's coming, that grace of God that teaches us to live right, teaches us to look right. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing.
Hallelujah.
He's coming. But that crowd denies that truth or confuses that truth. You see, they don't have to outright deny it. They can just confuse the truth. And when we confuse the truth, then it makes it a lie. Do you understand? It doesn't take but a little bit of arsenic in the milk to make it poison. Well, Brother Larry, it's not all that bad. Well, you drink it. Father, we sure are glad that You're in control. I'm grateful that I can relax tonight and know that however this thing turns out, it'll be for our benefit and Your glory. And You, by Your marvelous grace, have set this thing in motion, and You'll bring it to fruition. Oh God, as we are warned, help us to be exposed more so to truth, so we'll know when the error shows up. Thank You for Your good mercy, for Your good grace. Thank You for these warnings that are given us in the Word of God. Thank You so much. In Jesus' name.